now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report.
The economics profession continues to struggle with issues of diversity. As an example, only about a third of economic doctorates go to women, and the gender gap is wider at the profession's senior levels. As indicated by writers Ben Castleman and Jim Tankersley, racial and ethnic minorities, especially African Americans and Latinos, are even more underrepresented. The gender gap in economics is not only wider than in other social sciences, but by certain measures, it's even larger than in traditionally male-dominated fields like math and science. Certain disciplines within or related to economics, like finance, suffer an especially poor record of advancing women. A branch of the American Finance Association recently indicated that barely 10% of tenured finance professors and 16% of tenure-track faculty are women. In economics as a whole, women accounted for only 23% of tenured and tenure-track faculty in 2015. In recent years, a growing body of research has uncovered evidence of discrimination at virtually every stage of the profession.
For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report.
Economists recently surveyed by the Wall Street Journal see a growing risk of recession in America. Though few of these economists could identify a specific triggering mechanism, such as the housing crisis that produced the previous recession, economists point to a number of growing concerns. Among these are trade tensions with China, rising interest rates, and increasingly apparent financial market volatility. On average, surveyed economists indicated that there is a 25% chance of a recession over the next year, which represents the highest level since October of 2011. The analogous probability of recession was just 13% a year ago. More than two-thirds of economists indicated that growth in the U.S. is somewhat or very exposed to a slowdown in other major economies like China, Europe, and Japan. The 2020 economic outlook is especially concerning. More than half of economists, 57%, indicate that they expect a recession to begin in 2020. Another 26% anticipate a recession in 2021. Even if the U.S. manages to avoid recession, most economists still expect slower economic growth.
For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report.
If one thinks about it, these should be boom times for auto production in America. Unemployment in America is near a half-century low. Gasoline is cheap, and U.S. vehicle sales were near record levels last year. But what do we observe? America's automakers are shuttering factories, cutting shifts, and laying off thousands of workers. The industry is behaving as if an auto recession has arrived, and in one particular segment, one has. As indicated by Bloomberg, Detroit is in the midst of a car recession marked by the collapse of demand for traditional sedans. Just 6 years ago, sedans accounted for half of the market, but buyers have been engaged in a mass exodus out of the classic family car and into sports utility vehicles. Familiar sedan models like the Honda Accord and Ford Fusion comprised a record low 30% of sales in the U.S. in 2018, and matters only stand to get worse from a sedan lover's perspective. According to researchers at LMC Automotive, sales of sedans will fall to less than 22% of all sales by 2025, relegating sedans to the fringe. That leaves some automakers with significant excess factory capacity.
For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report.
As indicated by writer Patricia Cohen, big box retailers and other corporate giants are using a legal tactic to shrink their property tax bills. The successful use of this tactic is costing local governments and school districts around the nation hundreds of millions of dollars in lost revenue. These businesses, including brick-and-mortar stores like Walmart, Home Depot, Target, Kohl's, and Walgreens face fierce online competition. Accordingly, they maintain that no matter how valuable a thriving store is to its present owner, these warehouse-type structures aren't worth much to anyone else. So the best way to appraise these properties is to analyze sales prices on the open market of vacant or formerly vacant shelves in other places. These tax appeals often prove successful, reducing the tax payments of property owners. The money at stake is not trivial. In Michigan, the State Association of Counties has estimated that these dark store appeals reduced local revenue by $100 million from 2013 to 2017. In Texas, the comptroller has indicated that such appeals could end up costing local governments $2.6 billion per year. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. A study conducted by the Warwick Business School concludes that women are better investors than men. Women seem better able to avoid risky trading and are more likely to focus on shares with solid track records. In a paper entitled Boys Will Be Boys that was published in the Quarterly Journal of Economics, Terrence O'Dean at UC Berkeley and Brad Barber at UC Davis determined that accounts owned by women outperformed those of men largely because women traded an astonishing 69% less than men and therefore incurred fewer transactional costs. As indicated by writer Blair Duquesne, research indicates that men routinely exhibit overconfidence in their investment abilities, which results in a lot of trading as one hunch replaces another. Based on this, one might think that there should be an abundance of female money managers. There aren't. At the Chartered Financial Analyst Institute, a premier global association for investment professionals, only 18% of members are women. Interestingly, about 83% of women in the profession selected their career prior to the age of 25. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.